Hello and welcome back to The Longest Yard, Legends of Philadelphia. These are your hosts, Tony Two Hand Touch Trove, Johnny Delay of Game Zito.
2 minute warning.
I'm Brian Buttonhook Bierman, helping out on engineering duties. You might be wondering, who are these Monday morning quarterbacks? And it is Monday morning. Well, in addition to being born and raised in Philadelphia, Trove and Zito have a lifestyle brand, Seth Bellini, that focuses on Philly culture and in-jokes and comfort and podcasts. Lots of times, customers will ask us, why are all the stadiums in South Philly? Or they want to know why we're talking about football during baseball season.
It's a great question.
We'll explain it. So we decided to start this podcast as an easy explainer for the new Philadelphians and a refresher for the old heads. The city fascinates and excites us, so we're hoping to share that with you. Sorry, we were talking about WrestleMania before this, and I was trying not to laugh.
So you want to carry that bridge over into?
Don't get me started.
Vince McMahon stunner. Okay.
Well, yeah. If you like wrestling, look up Vince McMahon getting the
There's almost
the
a complete
worst
crossover
stunner
in the Venn diagram of our audience and WrestleMania. So,
yeah.
If you like wrestling and horror movies, boy, do I.
Yeah, I got the.
You want to hang out later?
Well, I mean, Vince McMahon's kind of relevant to what we're talking about today. We're going to be talking about an alternative NFL league, and Vince McMahon started an alternative NFL league, the XFL, which
it's not that one, though.
But we're not talking about that one.
We're talking about another tale. That's another legend of Philadelphia.
We're talking about the other alternative football league to be relaunched in 2022. We're talking about the USFL today.
That's the Philadelphia Soul.
No, not the Soul. The Soul's not coming back.
They might.
No. Well, we're talking about the USFL. I don't know if people are familiar with this football league, this alternative NFL football league from the 80s, but we're gonna get into that this week because it's coming back. They're playing again this weekend. The USFL returns and
coming back, including the home team, the Philadelphia Stars.
Yep, the Philadelphia Stars. They were a professional American football team that played in the United States Football League, the USFL, during the mid 1980s. They were the short-lived league's dominant team, playing in all three championships and winning two of them. Now that the USFL is coming back, we wanted to take a minute to remember Philadelphia's winningest football team, the Stars.
They're technically the best football team ever in Philadelphia.
This is true.
Just like the Athletics are the best baseball team. The Warriors are the best basketball team. Sure.
Yeah. They have the benefit of not being here, so people can't shit on them right now. So
No, not yet. They got to wait till this weekend.
What are their colors? Red?
Red and yellow. Yellow.
Red and yellow. Hard to pull off. Hard to pull off.
Yeah. Very McDonald's.
Very.
Red and yellow, hard to pull off.
Red and yellow.
Especially this very dominantly primary red and yellow that they
I don't know. We'll see how it looks.
It's a good logo. I like the Stars logo.
It's a good logo. It's a good logo.
Do you guys know anything about the Stars? Do you remember them at all from our childhood or any remnants of them or anything?
I mentioned earlier. I knew like Herschel Walker was one of these guys, but that's pretty much it because he was an Eagle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now he's also something else. but he was an Eagle, and I did know that when I was a kid.
Yeah,
he was like their biggest. He came
he
right
was
out
a popular
of college,
Eagle.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, he was like with Randall's team, you know?
He was like the biggest USFL star.
Yeah, he was. The USFL had a lot of good players. It was not a gimmicky thing. It wasn't like an XFL. They were promising good football.
Whoa. Let's not disparage the XFL.
I don't want to speak to the XFL 2022. I guess I'm speaking of
the camera crew into the cheerleaders' locker room that one time. Come on now. You're telling me that's not classy?
That's Peabody level, groundbreaking television right there.
I guess we'll get into it, but like the idea of like another football league besides like since the AFL, because the AFL which got bought by the NFL and then became, since then there has been many like other football leagues and they never work. They literally never work.
Yeah.
There was another one a couple of years ago that wasn't the XFL that closed down. Then Vince McMahon brought back the XFL and that closed down because of COVID. Now The Rock bought it. Now he's bringing it back next year. And this year they're bringing back the USFL.
Yeah.
The NFL makes so much money in TV rights fees. And it's like the biggest thing on television that they're just like, well, maybe we'll make another, another football league.
How about two? Money. How about football all year? Because I mean, when it makes that much money, it's like you're only going to play 16 games. That's it. You know, you're only going to play these few weeks out of the year. There's much more money to be made.
50 games, you're saying?
Well, I understand that it's very hard for the athletes, but so the idea of more leagues just means more athletes, you know, and. But then I guess you get into where's the talent is, you know, and that was what the USFL was trying to answer, you know, who had the more talented football players, not just the television contracts.
So about the TV contracts.
It remains to be seen if the USFL becomes popular. I'm going to say it won't.
good money is on that. Yeah. Yeah. When I was a kid, I remember my cousin had a Stars t-shirt. I never thought about it. I never thought about what it meant. It was just a shirt I saw him wear occasionally. And then a few years ago, ESPN did a 30 for 30 episode on the USFL. And, I like put it together, at that point I was like, oh, that's what that was. And it's like a spring league. I'd never even like thought of that. You know what I mean? Yeah. It just had never even come to mind that you would play football in warm weather. I mean, I guess partially because for so many years in Philadelphia, the Eagles and the Phillies lived in the Vet. So it's like, how could you have football during baseball season? It was an impossibility. So it never even crossed my mind.
Yeah, yeah. And I don't know, people like follow football differently than we follow football. Like in the South, they follow like college football like so like much that they actually have their own ESPN channel.
Wow.
Yeah.
Like that just follows like Southern college football. Like we don't even think about it, you know, college football. But there's different like leagues in the country, and there's different like people who play all the time. There's different things going on. We just don't.
I like preschool football. I think they want it more. They want it more. And
young talent.
Yeah, they're not jaded yet. They haven't been bought out.
It's brave of you to come out and say that.
I just like it. I'm not allowed. Usually, I get kicked out if I go to the games, but
I got that restraining order.
Is this guy again?
I just use binoculars.
Just sit in your car, 100 yards away.
Yeah,
nothing weird about that. I just like the game.
I like the game. Yeah.
I first heard about the Stars was because when I was a kid, in front of where, well, now it's not. In front of Vet Stadium, because Vet Stadium's not there anymore, but there's a giant statue, and I like read the statue, and it was dedicated to the Philadelphia Stars, and I was like, what? What is this? I that seriously like blew my mind, because I was like, wait, there was another football team? Like who?
And
never
they have
heard
a statue, not the Eagles.
Yeah. It was like, what is this? And every time I go by it, I point it out. I don't think people really know that. I don't think people when people are vomiting and pissing on it, they don't stop to read the plaque.
No, they all think it's David Akers. They're just like, okay, moving on. Great kicker.
There's definitely something really old fashioned about it too. I know it's huge.
Yeah,
it's cool.
Yeah, that's a really great observation, Bierman. I forgot about that while I was putting the script together for this episode. I'm glad you brought that up.
Oh shit! Breaking news. We're opening Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday from 12 to 5. Yeah, sometimes news can be an ad. And actually, a lot of ads and news are the same.
Sinclair bought this.
Sinclair.
They're paying for this.
Infotainment. Adfotainment.
This ad is alive.
All right, back to the show. Oh, yeah.
On May 11th, 1982, the announcement of the USFL was officially made by league owner and antique dealer David Dixon. So.
antique dealer.
Yeah, he deals Herman Miller mid-century antiques. Very cool.
Yeah.
And stamps.
Stamps, of course. Stamps.
Stamps.
Precious moments.
Cookie jars.
Precious moments. Cuckoo clocks.
The United States
Rare
Football
keys.
League. The United States Football League was an American football league that played a spring-summer schedule in each of its active seasons. In 1965, David Dixon saw a market for a professional football league that would play in the summer when the National Football League and college football were in their off-season. Dixon had been a key player in the construction of the Louisiana Superdome and the expansion of the NFL into New Orleans in 1967. And as a result, he developed the Dixon Plan, which was a blueprint for the USFL based on securing NFL-caliber stadiums in top TV markets and securing national TV broadcast contracts.
The Dixon Plan.
Yeah. And it was like it's like a real thing. He like had like a manifesto or whatever that he wrote up, and he's like, "Here's how we do it. Here's my bullet points."
Manifesto.
They call it a plan, but it's a manifesto. He's planting his flag. He's saying the NFL can't be the only league.
It's like a manifesto when it has like an enemy.
Yeah.
When a goal has an enemy.
I agree.
Yeah.
When it's against someone.
Something. Sure.
So the league's Philadelphia team would be owned by real estate developer Miles H. Tenenbaum.
Great name.
From that documentary.
Yes, that Wes Anderson documentary.
That wacky family.
He had originally wanted to name the team the Stallions in honor of Rocky Balboa, who was nicknamed the Italian Stallion. However, the Birmingham
everybody in South Philly was going crazy.
I know. That team never would have left. They would have never been allowed to leave.
Never allowed to leave.
They would have blocked I-95. You wouldn't have been able to drive your bus away.
So he didn't do it, though?
No, the Birmingham team snapped up the Stallion's name first, and Tenenbaum settled on the
Stars. You know what they should have went with?
What's that?
You know what they should have went with?
What's that?
The Spider Rico.
Spider Rico.
That would have been a great logo.
I feel like the Stars is such an afterthought. They're like, can't have Stallion, it's taken. But, and he's like, he didn't have a backup. He's like,
Stars.
It's not even the Stars. It's just Stars.
Stars.
Philadelphia Stars.
Like Sally Star.
Yes.
That's what it's named after.
Yeah.
Their logo should have been a cowgirl. It would have been at least tied it in locally, yeah.
Like that one Cowboys shop on South Street.
Oh, yeah.
So boots and shit like that.
Yeah.
George Parels was originally named as the team's head coach in July 1982. Parels, previously an assistant coach for the NFL Pittsburgh Steelers, never coached a game for the Stars, opting instead to take a job with Michigan State instead. So on January, he took a look at the Philadelphia expansion.
He'd rather
team
be and, cold in Michigan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Michigan's
not pretty big football. Yeah, college football.
They're always going to have a team.
Yeah,
he did pick right.
His job is more secure over there.
Yeah,
it's an inauspicious start for the head coach to be like, actually, I'm gonna head to college. I'm gonna
college?
Do college instead.
I'll go back to school.
So on January 15th, 1983, the Stars hired Jim Mora, a defensive line coach from the Patriots, as Philadelphia's head coach.
Jim Mora is famous for. the post game when he was the coach of the Colts, I think. And someone asked him about how they're going to do in the playoffs. He's like, playoffs? Playoffs? You kidding me? We're just lucky to win a game. That's like a legendary clip.
Well, this is the start of his career. He was doing defensive line stuff before this. He was on the coaching staff. He'd done some college stuff. And he took this as an opportunity and ran with it. The Stars played their home games at Veterans Stadium. They compiled the league's best regular season record of 15-3 and advanced to the 1983 USFL Championship game.
Nice.
Their doghouse defense allowed only 204 points in an 18-game season. The least in the history of the whole league. I don't know. It's in quotes. Doghouse defense. So maybe it's maybe it's what they called it.
Doghouse right. defense, dude.
Doghouse defense.
Doghouse. Or you do want to be in the doghouse.
Well, don't go to their doghouse because they'll shut
you
down.
Don't go. Don't step into our doghouse.
204 points in 18 games is pretty good, and like I said, that's the that's a record for the league. The Stars were led by fourth-year quarterback Chuck Fusina, 1978 Heisman Trophy runner-up.
Still pretty good.
Yeah.
Better than you. Come on.
Way better than me.
Way better than you.
I got honorable mention, not even runner-up.
Yeah, but that was politics, though. That was all politics.
I think Zito should have got runner-up.
They don't like my opinions on the Spanish-American War, and I'm not going to apologize for it.
Wow. Zito, instead of doghouse defense, his was the birdhouse blitz.
Birdhouse blitz.
Didn't catch on.
Well, I was the one getting blitzed. However, the Stars quickly emerged as the premier team in the league. The Stars entered the playoffs in the top seed. In the semifinals, the Stars were able to defeat the preseason favorites, the Chicago Blitz.
Get out of here.
Yeah. It was an ugly game, though.
I like that name because it doesn't end with an S.
No, it doesn't. It ends with a Z.
Z.
Very classy.
Very classy.
Like zebra.
Yes, like zebra from the alphabet.
Yeah.
It was an ugly game, though. The Stars came out and they looked pretty sluggish in the beginning. But by withstanding seven turnovers and erasing a 21-point deficit in the fourth quarter to win 44-38 in overtime, they had an amazing comeback. Really energized the city. Really energized the team.
A young John Zito was going crazy.
Just losing my mind, not even knowing what I was watching.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Porno.
It turns out he had just had a dirty diaper, but
I had it over my head. I was swinging it over my head. I was
over his head like a mad baby.
Terrible.
Like a crazy baby. I couldn't play preschool league. I couldn't get in, so I had to settle for watching at home.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Again, politics.
Politics.
In the league title game at Denver Mile High Stadium on July 17th, the Stars were edged out by the Michigan Panthers 24-22.
What is July 17th, John?
It's your birthday.
That's right.
Day that will live in infamy as the Stars loss. You must have been really upset. This would have been a huge birthday present for you. This would have been a huge...
We had a Stars-themed
Stars
birth.
Cake.
And...
Chuck Fusina said he was going to score a touchdown for you on your birthday.
For that little boy in the hospital.
Yeah, I dropped the cake.
Actually, I think this was the day you were born. Yeah, 1983.
There you go.
It was exactly the day you were born.
And they lost.
That's just up the street.
Well, there were lots of babies born that day. I'm sure it wasn't your fault.
You're right.
Yeah, it was their fault. It was another baby's fault.
It was some other bad luck baby's fault.
Bad luck baby. Bad luck baby. If you played in the XFL, you remember how they used to give they could have whatever they wanted on there, but it wasn't just like their last names on the back. It was
he hate me.
Yours would be bad luck baby.
Bad luck, baby. Yeah.
That's actually the name of my USFL expansion team.
Bad luck, baby.
Bad luck, baby. The Newark Bad Luck Babies.
The Newark.
The Newark Bad Luck. Play where the Devils play.
They don't take up the ice, though. Our players play with on ice skates.
It's extreme.
It's extreme.
Come down here and play the way we play, Chicago Blitz. Just as they had against the Blitz, the Stars opened the game sluggishly but finished with a flourish. After
just
allowing,
like this podcast.
Just like this podcast. We always finish with a flourish.
Yes.
After allowing the Panthers to carry a 17-3 lead to the fourth quarter, they managed to work their way back to that 24-22 final score. Not enough to win, though. Although many journalists and professional observers at the time believed that the Stars, Panthers, and Blitz were NFL-quality teams. So...
They're ready for the NFL. They're ready for prime time.
Yeah. People were enjoying these games. They were... They were not ugly football games. They may have been.
It was probably fun.
Yeah, they're by the highlights that I watched. They were from all over the league, not just the Philadelphia Stars. And there's a lot of crazy stuff like interceptions in the end zone. They had the 2-point conversion rule before the NFL did.
Oh, nice.
And
I honestly, going to the vet to see a football game in the summertime sounded like probably was probably a good time.
Yeah, I'm sure. The USFL was winning the respect and love of the fans, but it wasn't easy. One of the few blemishes on the Stars' first season was their box office. They only managed to attract 18,650 fans per game on average. And we've talked about the vet before. It is huge. It seats like 80,000 people. So.
And the tickets are probably cheaper than the Eagles, right?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah, almost half as much.
Yeah, you're probably like people are probably walking around the stadium and.
They were giving them out.
Giving them out.
Well, in addition to bad weather, the Stars can blame the Philadelphians' reluctance to embrace another NFL alternative.
Everybody's on the shore, too, you know? Watch a football game on the shore.
Well, people had a bad taste in their mouth. They had they were reluctant to embrace the USFL because the World Football League had come through in the 70s. And the Philadelphia Bell team had played 1.5 seasons here. I think it's 75-76 or 74-75 before the league folded and went and left fans high and dry. So
Philadelphia
nobody...
Freedom, the tennis, the ladies' tennis.
Yeah. So and the
come
soul
and go,
we
come
earlier.
And go, come and go. You can't just let's put your heart into something. You can't just write a song about it.
Yeah. It takes a lot. It takes a lot more than an Elton John song to cement the fans' love for you. It takes a Bon Jovi song.
Enough with the Jovi.
I get that. I mean, I definitely get that. I wouldn't want to. If I already had a football team in Philadelphia, listen, I wouldn't be as.
They were right. They were right also.
They were.
Right.
In a
they
way,
were
they
right.
were. Yeah.
There were a lot of times where they were right.
The USFL tried to avoid big, flashy gimmicks and wanted to focus on quality football. Without a hard salary...
I like gimmicks. I want it to be like American Gladiator football.
Halftime shows.
American Gladiator. Yeah, like shoot each other with tennis balls.
And they fight with those Q-tips.
With the javelins, yeah.
Q-tips. Hanging tough.
Welcome to the 50-yard line, turbo and laser.
They have those balls.
Yeah.
Those, like, steel balls.
We should do an American Gladiator episode.
Oh. Is there any Philadelphia anything?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Philadelphia's in America, so. Some say the birthplace of Philadelphia.
We can do the kids version. What was that? Double Dare. Double Dare was like a Philly thing. It has a Philly connection.
That's true.
That's true.
Maybe we'll do that someday.
I saw that live at the convention center. I was a little kid.
Did you get slimed?
When I was a kid, like I thought we were going to go. And I was like, maybe I'll get slimed. We sat like in the last row, you know.
No. You gotta pay to get slimed.
Yeah.
What if they pull me on stage and slime me?
Just like real life.
No slime for people in the mezzanine. Without a hard salary cap, some teams quickly escalated player payrolls to unsustainable levels. As a result, some USFL franchises suffered repeated financial crises. And there were many franchise relocations, mergers, and ownership changes during the league's short existence. These problems worsened as some owners began engaging in bidding wars for star players against NFL teams.
Like, well, 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 now I want a party. Who wants a party in the summertime?
This forced the owners to overspend, go way beyond their means. This broke the Dixon plan, which was all about, you know, gradual expansion, gradual spending as the money came in from ticket sales, as the television contract brought in more advertising. So the second season of the USFL was more competitive as they drew in more talent and bigger names, but they were more cash strapped. The Stars remained in Philadelphia for the 1984 season, but were forced to play their postseason home games at Franklin Field due to a conflict with the Philadelphia Phillies. So during the regular season, they had an arrangement. They could play their, you know, 13-week schedule at the Vet, but when they made the playoffs, they had to go to Franklin Field, which by 1984 was a mess. Definitely not a football field.
Oh.
It probably sucked.
I don't know. The Vet's kind of a dump. I did think that, like... to get like second place to the Vet, you know?
Yeah, they're like, I'd rather twist my knee at the Vet than Franklin Field.
Yeah. Oh, shit.
The Stars roared through the regular season with the league best 16-2 record and routed George Allen's Arizona Wranglers 23-3 for the league title in Florida at Tampa Bay Stadium on July 15th.
They creamed them.
The championship game in Tampa on July 15th was the last traditional professional football championship for the city of Philadelphia until the Eagles' Super Bowl 52 victory at the end of the 2017 season. It is the first since 1960 when the Eagles won the NFL championship before there was a Super Bowl.
Damn.
Damn. Damn.
Quite a drought.
It was a long drought.
It was a bad luck baby.
So that was it. That was the championship game. That was the USFL's version of the Super Bowl, and the
that was their version of the XFL's $1 million game.
Yes, yes. It doesn't have a catchy name.
Game. No.
It doesn't have a catchy name. It's just the league title.
League title. Number one winners.
Yeah. They all get a mug that says world's best football player.
And they spelled football wrong.
It's like a guy playing soccer. It's like a picture.
It's all we could get.
The guy does the engravings from Europe, so you don't get it.
He's from their championship rings were blow pops.
They're blow pops. Yes. They're coins. They're wooden nickels.
So this championship victory increased the Stars' popularity amongst fans, and that season was really good. Average home attendance jumped from approximately 18,000 in 1983 to 28,000 in 1984.
That's a lot of people.
Yeah, it's pretty good for your second year. I think
they were winning.
They're trending in the right direction. They were division champs and then league champs the next year. Better than the Eagles were doing in 1983,
1984. Well, that is true. They were building no statues for the Eagles.
Yeah, there's no Eagle statue. No. After the league championship game, the Stars played a rare postseason exhibition game with Tampa Bay in England on July 21st and defeated the Bandits 24-21 at Wembley Stadium in London.
Oh, wow.
Cheerio. That's... they enjoyed it.
And then they lost to the Philadelphia Freedom at Wembley Stadium right after that.
They played a tennis?
They played a tennis match there, yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Elton John showed up.
He was disappointed.
He was...
The Queen officiated. She definitely... she there, was...
Everyone had tea.
She was playing favorites.
She sat on the big high chair.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yep. The league's owners, led by Donald Trump of the New Jersey Generals... voted to move play to the fall following the 1985 season. So they were a summer league, and then Donald Trump was like, hey, what if we compete it directly with the NFL?
What if we do this really stupid thing that's not going to work?
Yeah. And he kind of strong-armed the other owners to vote with him. If you're want to know more about this, you should check out the 30 for 30 documentary, Small Potatoes.
It's very good.
Yeah, it gets into the nitty-gritty of what the owners of the other teams were up against financially and why they made the decisions they made at this point. But
it's just they weren't going to compete with the NFL. Like, that's just is such a bad idea.
They had a good thing going, being the alternative, you know. You're all hype after the Super Bowl, you know, the Eagles did well or they didn't do well, and you have the Stars to look forward to because they're a championship team. You can go root for them, and it won't be cold out when you do.
You know, when they talk about it that 30 for 30, like they talk about, like, the New York Post, and, like, the Post is covering all these New York teams, all these Jersey teams, and, like, every week it's talking more and more about this league with their teams, and I guess Trump had a Jersey team. So yeah, he's like, they're getting, like, all this coverage, and it's like, oh, my God, our teams are getting just as much coverage as the Giants. Like, it to a New Yorker, I guess, at the time, it could definitely seem like it's definitely truly competing with the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't there yet. Obviously, they didn't have the numbers, but they had the TV contracts because they were in the summer.
TV contracts, yeah, right.
And cable TV was expanding, and ESPN was very favorable to them because ESPN was looking for content.
Looking for something, yeah.
The documentary gets into, you know, Donald Trump wanted to buy an NFL team, and they turned him down. They wouldn't let him join their club, so they let him in at the USFL, and these guys... but the Stars realized they could not compete with the NFL's Philadelphia Eagles if the season moved to the fall. With no other stadium in Philadelphia area suitable, even for temporary use, Tenenbaum was forced to move the team to Baltimore, which was still smarting from the loss of the NFL Colts 3 years earlier, so they welcomed the Stars with open arms.
Oh, that's painful.
It is. They took Edgar Allan Poe from us, and then they took the Stars.
Mm-hmm. And then crab cakes.
That's right.
That's
right.
Love those.
Yeah, we like crabs too.
We like crabs.
However, at the last minute. However, at the last minute, the Stars discovered that they could not play at Baltimore's Memorial Stadium until 1986 due to objections from the Baltimore Orioles owner, Edward Bennett Williams, who was concerned about the Stars tearing up the turf.
That turf costs 80 cents a foot.
Hey, was it grass or Astro turf or Orioles turf?
I didn't look it up. That's a good question. I assumed
I
it was
you were
going
to say that they were like, we don't like crabs. We're allergic to crabs. We can't go to Baltimore.
You guys don't want to play here. Everything smells weird.
Everything smells
weird. Oh, man.
So instead, the
Stars
were...
Sorry, Baltimore listeners.
Well, what are you talking about? You're like, you pick on Baltimore?
I make fun of Bethesda, Maryland, not Baltimore, Maryland. Baltimore's cool. They got that seaport.
That seaport.
The harbor.
And they used to have the pinball museum.
Mm-hmm. Home of John Waters. Yeah. Home of Frank Zappa. Let's go to South Philly. South Philly goes to Baltimore.
Yeah, let's take a road trip. We're going
to
Baltimore.
Cal Ripken Jr.
The big Balt.
It's funny, when we look at our statistics, there's actually no one from Baltimore listens to the podcast, so we can't say whatever we want.
Oh, is that true?
Billy Ripken. All the Ripkins.
So the Stars were forced to play at University of Maryland's Byrd Stadium in College Park, which is 29 miles southwest of Baltimore. Not an easy trip.
Yeah, that's not Baltimore.
Further complicating matters, the team kept its operations in Philadelphia and commuted to College Park for games, effectively consigning the Stars to 18 road games for the league's lame duck spring season. So that, I don't know why they didn't just break the lease in Philadelphia on whatever offices they were maintaining.
They had a deal.
Like, what?
They had a good deal.
You can't break the contract. Call the police.
Man.
That landlord meant business.
Really want that security deposit back, I guess. That just seems like a lot of work.
That hole was there when we got moved in.
Yeah, that just seems like bad planning. But despite all these setbacks, the Stars repeated with another championship in the 85 season. So even as the Baltimore again. Stars, they won again. They were truly the dominant team in this league.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
As it turns out, that was the final USFL game ever played on July 29, 1986. A federal grand jury found in favor of the USFL in its antitrust lawsuit against the NFL. So the USFL sued the NFL and said, oh, you guys have a monopoly on all the TV contracts because they're on ABC, CBS, and NBC. Every Sunday during the same, 16 weeks every year. However, the USFL was only awarded $1 in damages during this lawsuit.
$1.
The league's abandonment of Philadelphia was a factor in the adverse jury award. Apparently, the jury foreman explained that while they all agreed the NFL was a monopoly, because the USFL had switched to a fall schedule, it had caused the loss of several major media markets like Philadelphia, Denver, Houston, Pittsburgh, Detroit, Miami, and the Bay Area. These were teams that couldn't compete with the NFL teams already there. Mm-hmm. So the jury couldn't agree on what the financial damages would amount to. Like, yes, there is a monopoly, but you kind of screwed yourself by moving to the fall because now you're not actually in direct competition in some of these media markets,
Yeah. Mm.
As a result, the jury misinterpreted the law and decided to award $1 in damages, assuming that it would be changed.
Slap in the face.
Yeah. Well, they thought it would be changed by the presiding judge. They thought we award damages of $1, and at sentencing or whatever, the judge is going to assign an actual dollar value. It's over our heads, they said. That's what how the jury felt. But the judge was not able to increase the amount once it was stipulated by the jury. That's the law. As a result, the league suspended operations a day later, never to return.
$1.
$1.
Y'all got to split it.
So the $1 became $3 because the thing they were guilty of comes with some fine that triples what the payout should be.
All right, $3 is not bad.
Yeah.
And then the USFL appealed the decision, which took an additional year, and that added 76 cents in interest to the payout when the appeal was denied.
Damn.
So there's
$4.
Almost.
Yeah,
what are they complaining
investment.
About?
What was $4 in 1985?
That's a cheesesteak.
It might be two cheesesteaks in 1985.
That's a Pat steak right there.
Not a mistake, that's for sure.
Not a mistake.
Yeah, huge slap in the face. They were expecting a huge payout from this NFL. Donald Trump had convinced them that by suing the NFL, they would get this huge payout that would cover their back costs, not only the legal fees, but what they had spent to move to the fall season in 1985, what they had lost in advertising from the media markets that they had to abandon. And when that didn't pan out, they had to close down. They couldn't afford to pay the players anymore.
Well, luckily, everybody realized that guy's an idiot, and he was never heard from again.
And this will not foreshadow anything to ever happen again.
It's a 30 for 30 does a much better job of explaining it, the court case stuff. So if you want to know more details, definitely recommend checking that out.
But hey, this is free.
Is free. So you just
come on.
Just take my word.
You got to get ESPN Plus if you want the real.
Definitely.com. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
The USFL had a significant impact on the NFL, both on and off the field. Almost all of the USFL's on-field innovations were eventually adopted by the older league. Like college football, USFL recognized the two-point conversion, and that would not be put into the NFL rules until 1994.
That is a weird, because the same thing would happen with the XFL, where some of the weirder rules got adopted by the NFL. So there was they did have some impact on football.
I always remember they did the no offside kick, and the dudes would just get plowed, and all the best players get hurt.
And then they would do the thing where they would just, you had to, run for the ball.
Oh, yeah.
It was the first time they did it, both of the guys, got hurt. Yeah, the XFL. There's another 30 for 30 in the XFL, which is very, they got to do another one because so much shit happened after that.
Well, these leagues are
coming
back.
Into wrestling. The leagues right back into wrestling.
Yeah.
These leagues are coming back. Maybe there'll be sequels to both episodes.
When they go out of business in 2 years.
Yeah, Elon Musk is going to mess it up this time.
I don't know. He's pretty smart.
For the final season, 1985, the USFL used a method of challenging officials' rulings on the field via instant replay, using a system that is almost identical to that used by the NFL today. The NFL would adopt its first instant replay system in 1986 after the USFL folded.
So the equipment leftovers, they just, you guys aren't using this.
I think the XFL took the SkyCam, or the NFL took the SkyCam from the XFL, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
that one wasn't around before that.
And you know who invented that was...
Triple H?
No. I can't remember his name.
Undertaker.
I can't remember his name.
Marty Jannetty.
No.
I don't know.
Million Dollar Man.
Million Dollar Man.
It wasn't the Iron Sheik, right?
Superfly Jimmy Snuka.
No, Garrett Brown. Garrett Brown, who invented the SteadyCam.
Oh, he invented the SkyCam too?
Oh, I mean that's...
Yes, and he
he's not a wrestler.
He's not, but he filmed Rocky running up the art museum steps.
Yes, he did. He's a great cinematographer, great cameraman.
Yes.
Probably the toughest cinematographer around.
Oh, yeah.
He invented two new cameras that are widely used, yeah.
A couple. He has a bunch of patents. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I interviewed him once, yeah. I couldn't remember his name, but I interviewed him.
You told us he wrestled, so I don't know.
No, I didn't. I said I wanted to wrestle him.
You said the Blue Meanie invented the Steadicam, and I believed you.
Didn't he, though? He invented the dance. I still haven't gotten that chicken. I should have got it today.
Wednesday's the day, man. You got to go.
I know. Well, I'm not coming in next week. I'm getting it.
You definitely need a nap afterwards.
Nice.
186 players in the USFL would go on to enjoy very successful careers in the NFL. In 1986, there were 15 former USFL players in the Pro Bowl.
Damn.
Yeah. The NFL would also eventually have franchises in some of the markets which the USFL had proved fertile for pro football or had renewed interest in the game, like Jacksonville. Jacksonville had a team during the USFL, and then
get a taste.
Yeah, they're fertile for football.
Fertile.
That's what you said. It says it.
Fertile. It.
They're fertile it for football.
No, they're
fertile for bad luck babies.
No, when you're fertile, you make a bad luck baby.
Yeah.
Like the Jacksonville Jaguars.
The Jacksonville Jaguars.
They're a 90s expansion team with 90s colors.
90s colors, yeah. Throw some teal in there.
The Stars are widely acknowledged to have been the best team to see the field in USFL history.
I agree.
The Stars won 41
of... fight me. Anyone who doubts it, fight me. Chicago Blitz fans, come stand to my face.
Come meet me in the Franklin Field parking lot. I'll show you what for.
Franklin Field Park. Come meet Marconi Park.
The Stars won 41 of their 54 regular season games and were 7-1 in the postseason. And now that the USFL is returning, the Philadelphia Stars are back.
Nice. I want to go see them.
Well, they currently play at all their home games at Protective Stadium and Legion Field in Birmingham, Alabama.
Oh, right. It's like a home away from home.
Okay.
Yeah, so
that's
they're
pretty much Philly.
I can't believe they didn't move to Philadelphia, Mississippi. I mean, it's
yeah, it's right there,
right next door. It's right there,
and it's the names in it.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
That would have been great.
It's a missed opportunity.
Cream cheese, yep.
Birmingham, Alabama is in that's in West Philly, right?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not sure what subway you stop. You get off to.
Yeah, I think it's. I think you gotta take the trolley.
I don't really go past Washington Avenue, so I wouldn't know.
I wouldn't know.
That's why all the stadiums are in South Philly.
That's why. So we can easily get to them.
I don't even have to take the subway. I just walk.
I hope they do good. I'm really rooting for them.
The Stars opened the 2022 season this week against the New Orleans Breakers. So tune in on Easter to support your hometown team.
Yeah.
Look, I'm not going to break
mass
my...
Turn mass off.
I know.
Grandma,
like,
turn mass
turn,
off. I'm trying
on,
to watch the Philadelphia Star.
Can we watch TV while we eat? Can we watch the...
My family watches the Godfather trilogy re-edited in chronological order on TNT. the Godfather novella or whatever.
That's the
it's
least
called.
Italian thing you guys do.
That's what we do on Easter Sunday.
That's just Easter. That's just Sunday.
It's regular Sunday.
Oh, it's Easter.
They brought back the logo too. It's like slightly updated.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, it looks good. Looks cool. Good. Their shade of red is a little deeper. It's a little richer. I approve.
Richer red.
Yeah.
Richer red.
But the star is it's got a retro quality to it, so you know. Looks good on a hat.
I hope they play a game here someday.
Well, I don't know where they would play. It's not an indoor league. There's not really another football stadium for them to play in.
Rizzo Rink.
The Bad Luck Babies play on ice, so I don't know.
Why
can't the Philadelphia Stars?
Why can't they?
Do you guys have anything you want to add? Anything you remember about the Philadelphia Stars?
I hope they do good.
I hope they do better than good.
No, I want them to do 6-6.
Six and six
this year.
Even Steven. All ties.
Not good, not showing all.
0-0-12.
Do you think are they doing this Easter thing for like a resurrection theme? Is the league coming back? Is this like...
You probably figure people are at home watching TV.
That's a good point, yeah.
Yeah, that's a weird first day to...
It is a weird day to release your football league.
Trove might be onto something, though. It's going to be a lot of people at home. And when the last time they got together, you know, on Christmas or Thanksgiving, they watched a sporting event. So
right.
Yeah.
They show like basketball on Christmas or whatever. You know, it's like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I don't know. We'll see how it plays out. We'll come back to it in our Arizona omissions later and
in 10 weeks when they're out of business.
When they're out of business, and we'll do an autopsy on the league. wishing them the best. Okay, that's all there is to know about the Philadelphia Stars. Check out our website, www.southfellini.com. That's SOUTHFELLINI.com for cool Philly-inspired merch. Check us out on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Follow along and join the conversation. We want to hear from you. Are you going to watch the Philadelphia Stars? Are you going to buy a jersey?
You got season tickets.
You going to tailgate? Let us know. Look out for new episodes of the podcast every Monday. Stay safe, wash your hands, wear a mask, eat your veggies, wear sunscreen, look both ways before you cross the street. Don't just cram before the test. Start studying a week ahead of time.
Stretch.
Oh, stretch early. Stretch.
Rotate your couch cushions.
That's some real
shit. That's some real shit.
All right, goodbye.